Amen. That was a good one. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Got your Bibles this morning, turn with the Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, begin reading in verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but lived up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that dieth. Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even the right hand of God, who's making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers or things present or things to come, nor heights nor depths nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:28 says, I know that all things work together for the good them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Notice another verse, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God, I'm glad he's for us. Would you pray with us? Our Father, I'm grateful for another opportunity that you've given us to come again before these thy children in the midst of this congregation this morning to read your precious word. Thank you for your word. I pray that your word will go forth now. Accomplish that displeasing to you here this morning. Glorify your Son. Convict our Father. The one here lost don't know you this morning. May you open their eyes that they can see. Open hearts so they can receive. And God will thank you. Encourage, discourage, strengthen the weak. Help us all realize, our Father, that you are for us. Thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Aren't you glad God's for us? I'm glad he is. Sure, I lost my mic. Okay. Just recording, don't need it for, you probably won't need it to hear me. But the Lord bless me with a good voice so far. I want to read a few verses, and then we'll come back to this text, but I want to read just a few of the verses this morning, because what God said is more important than anything I could ever think of. But you want to turn with me something, God being for us. Look, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to read one verse. Then I'm going to go to Isaiah and read two verses, two different places, a few verses, then I'm going back to my text. Lord willing, Deuteronomy 31, Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Of course, is this when Moses was fixing to make the crossing himself? He was telling Joshua and the children of Israel, and he told them, this is what he told them the Lord said. Look at verse number 8, Deuteronomy chapter number 31. And the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Notice there in that verse of Scripture, in case we don't get back there. This is what it says. First of all, it said the Lord will go where? Before you. He's good going before you and arranging things. He'd go before you. Then he said he'd be with you. Then he said he wouldn't fail you. And then he said he wouldn't forsake you. And you know what he said? Then what he's telling? Fear not. And I can tell you, if you get a hold of that verse, what God said, we won't have to fear. Why? He's going before us. He's going with us. And he won't forsake us and he won't fail us. And we don't have to fear, thank God. Go to the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, look at some verses here. Isaiah, about the purpose. You know, God's got a purpose. Now, I want to read this. Somebody thinks, you know, maybe, well, God's got a purpose, but maybe somebody changed it. Don't think so. Won't happen. Look what it said in Isaiah chapter number 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 24. Isaiah 14, 24 said, the Lord of hosts have sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have, what? Purposed, so shall it stand. Verse number 26, this is the purpose that is purposed upon the earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts, verse 27, hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? And so when God said you know, all things work together according to them that love God and have a call to what? According to his purpose. You can't null God's purpose. You can't do away with God's purpose. I like it. Amen. You can't. You can't change it. You can't get it annulled. You can't get it changed. You can't stop it. I'm telling you, God's purpose shall come to pass. There's another verse that won't turn. I'm going to go and fix and turn nothing a little bit. But I was thinking about another verse where, you know what God said about Esau and Jacob. Normally the younger served the elder, but what did God say? He said it's going to be different in this case because that's what God had purposed and what God had declared, what God had planned. And the purpose of God, the plan of God will stand. You can't annul it. You can't change it. Thank God that's so. If we could get a hold of what God has said, what he said, he can perform and he will perform. He said you can't change it. You can't annul it. The purpose of God. And so these things are happening even right in the day and hour we're living in that you can't change. It's a purpose of God. It's a prophecy of God. It's a power of God. I'm glad the purpose of God will stand. Yes, it will. A lot of people think they can overthrow God, but you can't overthrow God. He's on the throne. He's ruling and he's reigning, thank God. And so look at Isaiah, another verse in Isaiah, chapter number 46. Look at it. We'll read this and go on a little further. Isaiah 46, chapter 46, verse number 9. Remember the former things. Isaiah 46, 9. Of old, for I am God. And there is him anymore. None else. Amen. I'm God. And there is none what? Like me. There ain't nobody like God. Oh yeah. He's God. Thank God that he is. But listen, I'm so glad that he loved me and he loved you and he called us. I'm so glad that nobody like God. Thank God. He's God. There's none like him. I'll tell you what, there ain't none else. He declared the end from the when, the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I'll do what? Do all my pleasure. God said he knows. Listen,
He determined from the beginning to the end, his counsel will stand. He's God. He's ruling and reigning. He's on the throne. He is, and nobody else. Looking at me, he said, all the end of the earth, I'm God, and there's none other. His counsel will stand. Yes, it will. Look, go on down what it says. Call it verse number 11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I've spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I've purposed it, and I will also do it. I'm glad God called me on purpose. I'm glad God called me on purpose. Well, amen. He did. Hallelujah. I'm glad that he did. Well, I'm going to read a few more verses and we'll go back to my text. Look in Romans 9:11. I think that's the one I've already been quoting over. Let's look at it. Let's read it. Romans 9:11. Go back to the New Testament now. Romans 9:11. Romans 9:11. Thank God for the purpose of God. Romans 9:11 said, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto thee, her, the elder shall serve the younger. Amen. And he hadn't even been born yet. Do you know God knew you before you was ever born? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Leaped for joy. Who knows what else of God was on any of us in our mother's womb? That's why little babies, they're human beings. They don't have to wait to come out of the womb to be one. That's why it's murder to abort one. And we got a lot of blood on our hands in America. But it said, for us ever born. I'll tell you what, it just excites you. You get shouting about it if you don't watch it. That God knew us, had a foreknowledge of us before we was ever even born, before we was ever conceived. That will blow your mind, won't it? But I'm telling you, he's a big God. But still so. I'm glad it is. So he said, now they see that election mindset, not of works, but of him that calleth. You'll never work enough to get justified. It's God that justifies. I just read that. Well, I'm going to get over it in just a moment. It's God that justifies. You know what I keep telling people? They keep striving. Just rest in God. We do the best we can. But the first thing you got to do is trust in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll go over in a few moments and show you why he's for us. And some things he's done for us, it just proves, amen, that he is for us. It's not a works of him that calleth. Now, notice another verse in Ephesians 1:11. I know the Sunday school lesson was in Ephesians. They look in Ephesians 1:11. Look in Ephesians 1:11 and see what it says. How sweet this is. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according, guess what, to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You can't even improve on the will of God. That's why we ought to constantly pray, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. The purpose of God. Amen. Hey, thank God. He, according to the purpose of him. There's another verse now in Ephesians 3:11. Look at it. Look at Ephesians 3:11. Look at this. Now don't shout. You'll shout and you read this verse near the two. Look at it. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal purpose. You see, Some people think that, you know, that God come up with this idea of salvation for us after man failed. No, it's been from the foundation of the world. Eternal. God knew exactly what was going to happen. He had everything planned. And all things purposed and planned out. Amen. You said God don't know it. Yeah, he does too. He knows all about you. He knows all about me. As me and Carol talk about sometime, you might as well just go ahead and admit it. He already knows it anyhow. Don't he? He knows the intents and thoughts of my heart. He don't just know what comes out his mouth. He knows what the intents and the thoughts of the heart is. He knows everything. But he has a purpose. And it's an eternal purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9, then going back to my text. I just wanted to share this, give you some verses to meditate on. 2 Timothy 1:9. Look at this. Second Timothy 1:9 says, who have saved us. Thank God for that. And called us with a holy calling. Uh-oh. And you know what it wasn't? Not according to what? Our works. Can I tell you something? If God had awaited to call me and save me when I got my works up to a certain par, it would have never happened. Never. If you break one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all. We could have never satisfied the law of God. But you know what's so sweet about it? And I want to go real slowly. What's so sweet about it is, him that knew no sin fulfilled, satisfied the law of God for you and for me. That we, he'd take our sins and he'd give us his righteousness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that's my ticket to heaven. It's yours. You can have it. Thank God. He saved us and called us with the holy calling, not according to our works. I can tell you, before I got saved, I'll just confess, I'd look at people in the church, and I'm good as they were, probably was as good as some of them. I don't know. I ain't going to go back in that detail now. But it didn't make no difference. I could have been doing some things better than they done. If I hadn't ever got saved, I'm still going to be lost. But I'd look at them, and I'd say, well, I'm going to get this lined up. I'm going to get this straightened up. I can quit this, and I can do this, and then I'm going to be saved or get saved. It never happened. But you know what did happen? When the Holy Ghost convicted me, Danny, and showed me that I was a sinner, couldn't save myself, had to have some help, and the only help I could get was through Jesus Christ. And I found the Savior, found peace. Look, he said, not according to our works, 2 Timothy 1:9, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Yesterday? No. Before the world begun. So none of us got no excuse and say, well, it weren't ready for me when I got born. Son, it's been ready. Even before the cross, they were making sacrifices and looking toward the coming. Now we're not making sacrifices. The one sacrifice was made. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, I'm going on with a purpose, but go back with me now. I just want to get that Romans 8:28 just a moment. I want to look at some of these other verses in Romans 8 before we close this morning. Go back to Romans chapter number 8 with me just a few moments. We could go on with this purpose of God. You heard me say a lot of times, if you're here this morning, God's got a purpose for you. Got a purpose for your life. I always said God saved me and he saved you on purpose. For a purpose. Lord, ask him what that purpose is and fulfill that purpose in our life. Sure had. Go back to Romans chapter number 28. thinking now for a few moments on if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, there's one thing we can know for sure. We can see from the purpose of God, the plan of God, that He is for us. Nobody, not a one of us, no human being, no one said to Him, would you redeem us? Would you get something to get us out of this awful condition? It started in the heart of God. It burned in the heart of God. He's for us. No one talked Him into it. He made the person move. He is for us. Amen. He is for us. Well, we know there's a lot of things who can be against us. But if He's for us, that don't matter. Sometimes you see people, they get the mully grubs and they'll think, well, this is running against me, this is going against me, and all these things happen. Listen, stop just a moment and think, hey, just see who is for me. For me. So He said, is God for us? Yes, He is. You can tell that from His purpose. Right? Then He's for us, but you can tell, look what He says, the foreknowledge of God. It'll blow your mind, and we can't even fathom by the view of the things about the foreknowledge of God. I know He's for me. Why? Because verse number 29 says, Him He foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed into the image of His Son. I know He's for me because He called me. I wasn't more looking for God than Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus. Neither was you. But God in His sovereign grace and mercy came where we were. Paul was on the road to Damascus persecuting Christians. But God in His sovereign grace and mercy called him. Not only called him to salvation, He called him to be an apostle. He said it over and over and over again. God's called you. He called you. That's a proof. That's evidence that He's for you. He is. If God be for you, He calls you. I'll tell you another evidence. He predestinated us to be conformed into His Son. In other words, He decided ahead of time He can conform me into His own Son. That's why He's the firstborn among many brethren. That's why when He comes, listen, we got some more working on us to be done. But the Bible said when He comes, we shall see Him as He is, or we'll be what? Like Him. God's taking you. He's taking me. I know He's for me because He's predestinated. He determined and predetermined that I'd be conformed. That's why I want to thank God. That's why He ain't give up on me. That's why He ain't giving up on you. He's conforming you. He's changing you. He's renewing you. Thank God the new birth happens in a, listen, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. But you grow in grace and He conforms us as long as we're on this earth. He's still conforming us into His image. You know, we were born the first time by the image of the earthly Adam. Right? We're born the second time by the image of the heavenly second Adam. And the Bible says in Adam, all die in Christ. All shall be made alive. By one man sin into the world, death by sin, by the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we live. I know He's for me because He sent His Son to die for me. I look around over this congregation and I can see several of you. It's just like me, lost a child. Several of you. Right? What did God say? I know He's for me. He gave His Son for me.
I had to give mine. And it had to been the perfect will of God and the acceptable will of God. But you know what? To give him, Christ died for us while we was ungodly. Anybody come up to me and say, would you let your son be executed? Would you let him be put to death for the worst criminal that you know of? I couldn't have done that. But God did. He spared not. I read it a while ago, verse 32, I believe. God spared not his own son. Delivered him up for what? For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, that verse helped me a lot in my Christian life. Even since I lost my son, you know why? I realized, God, you gave up your son. And that's a price. That's a real price. Why should he withhold anything else? Everything else would be little compared to his son. I know he's for me. You think if you had gave me some kind of a expensive price like that, I'd turn around and say, well, I know you against me. No, I'd say you for me. So I know God's for me. I know he is. Yes, he is. I know sometimes you go through heartaches and sufferings and afflictions and losing loved ones, you'll say wonder sometimes, and the devil will come to you and say, well, does God care? But I want to tell you something. He does. Yes, he does. He really cares. He cares. He sure does. So I know God's for us because he called us. He's conforming us into his image. He justified us. Now, what's the word justification mean? Just as we've never sinned. Now, boys, that's shouting ground. Because ain't none of us can stand here or sit there either one and say we've never sinned. But thank God, when he justifies us, wipes the slate clean. Thank God right. And you don't have to deal with it no more. Folks, I'm going to tell you now that I got saved, I thought somebody took a ton of weight off my chest. I mean, I had them piled up on me. I mean, them sins were piled up. He took them away. Justified me. Declared me just. Thank God. He's the only one that could. I'm glad he did. You know what? I know he's for me because he justified me. I know he's for me. He forgave my sins and took them away. And not only that, but declared me like I'd never committed them. Not only that, thank God. What he says to him, he justified him also. Glorified. One of these days, we're going to have a glorified body. Hallelujah. Going to have a body. This old body going back to the dust of the earth one day. I'll be changed in a moment, twinkling an eye. But thank God, Jesus told a thief on the cross today that shall be with me in paradise. Those disembodied spirits now is like in paradise. Thank God they're in a wonderful place. One of these days, they're coming back with the Lord and the bodies are coming out to grace. He'll be reunited back. But thank God. He justified me. And he's going to glorify me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I reckon the suffering of this present time not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed over there. Hallelujah. I've shared Tom, a few weeks ago, some of them verses of Scripture. May share some of them again today. But you know what? I shared with some of them verses of Scripture. These light of afflictions. The afflictions was heavy upon him. He was in sickness and pain, but he said, these light afflictions, Apostle Paul said, there's nothing to compare. They did just like a moment compared to eternity and the eternal weight of glory. Not only did he justify us, we got glory waiting on us. Hallelujah. Eternal. Weigh them up on something. Weigh your problems up. But Compare them. Don't compare them to somebody else's problems. Compare them to eternity. Your problems will be here. And I tell you, the weight of the eternal glory is going to be way up there. It's going to be wonderful. Whew. Whew. Hallelujah. Mm. I can feel His presence and His power. I tell you what, thank God He's on my side. You remember when we was in school? We had two sides. Who's going to be on the side playing ball? Two sides going to get on, pull on one end of the rope that isn't. Everybody's wanting to be on everybody's side. Oh, no, no. But you know what? I'm telling you, I'm glad God's on my side. I'm glad He's for me. What a wonderful hope. I'm glad He's able to do above and abundantly. He's for me because He spared not His only Son. He's for me because who lays anything? There's no charge against a God's elect. It's God that justifies. You know what? Sometimes people say all kinds of things. May say them about you, may say them about me. No, no, no. But I'm going to tell you something. God's the one that justifies. I can't justify you. You can't justify me. We can't justify ourselves. But God can. It's God that justifies. Amen. And so nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. There's no charge against the elect of God. Because God called them. God elected them. God predestinated us to become formed the image of His Son. Glory to God. And so no one else, no one can put a charge against us. No one but God. He's justified us. Amen. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ. Can I say there's no charge against the saint? There's no charge against those that have been justified. There's no condemnation against them. The Bible said, I believe it's verse number 1, or was it the next chapter, said, therefore no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. First chapter, first verse of this chapter. Therefore there's now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who are not out of the flesh, but out of the Spirit. There's no condemnation, thank God. No charge. He's for us. He's for us. Yes, He is. And finally, before we close, thank God, there's no separation from the love of God. Who should separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation won't do it. Stress don't. You had any tribulation or distress? How about some persecutions? How about some famine or some nakedness or peril or sword? It's written, for thy sake we killed all the day long, counted sheep for the slaughter. But you know what He's saying? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Nothing separates us from the love of Christ. Nothing, thank God. Do you know what? Even when I fail, cry. When I fail Him, He still loves me. Thank God. If I'm unfaithful, He's still faithful. Listen, glory to God. He's faithful. Thank God He's faithful. He said if we confess our sins, He was faithful and just to forgive us. A faithful God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He said, nothing to separate us from the love of Christ. I'm glad. And no problem with a lot of parents here this morning. All right, a lot of you sitting there, parents also, grandparents. I'm sure you had children disappointed you sometime or another. I'm sure we disappointed our parents. But you know what? I know a disappointed mind, but I never was a time when I didn't know they loved me. Love covers a multitude of what? Sins. And you know something else? Love never fails. A lot of other things will, but love never fails.
was sort of proud of one of my granddaughters the other day. You know, I don't go around in places. No one want to get around. I'm scared, really. What all that shopping's going on, you know, after Thanksgiving. Some lady in line said, really, I guess she's wanting to get, you know, all get in line and get the presents or something. So she said something that ain't bad, pretty bad to hope, because she's trying to get in line or something. Anyway, when Hope got up there, she got her one, got two, she got her one and got that lady one and took it to her. She had a little different tune then. And you know what? Holy Ghost said, you overcome evil with what? Good. And the lady had said something. Well, very nice to her. I said, well, that's a good thing to do. Even she hadn't got but one, it'd been nice just to get that back there to her. I'm going to tell you something. God sees all of that. You know, that's what God did for us. God, in His sovereign grace and mercy, while I was a sinner, while I was without hope, while I was ungodly, He loved me and gave Himself for me. And thank God there's nothing. There's no separation. Listen, from the love of God. There's no condemnation from God. And there's no charge against us from God. It's all been cleared. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Lord. What a God. Would you stand with me this morning?